Well, good morning, everybody, or whatever time of day it might be when you're watching this. We're wrapping up our series on the Book of Chronicles today. First, I wanted to talk about a movie that I watched when I was a kid. Watched it lots of times, no idea how many. It's a movie called Willow, and I don't know how many of you will have seen the movie Willow. It came out in 1988, so it was watching that movie was part of my youth. Willow is, it's an adventure story with kings and castles and swords and monsters and that sort of thing. And one of the main characters in Willow is a swordsman called Mad Mardigan. And then one of the other main characters is a female warrior called Sorsha. Now, at the beginning of the movie Willow, Mad Mardigan and Sorsha hate each other. Real animosity between these two characters. Now, I can remember the first time that I saw Willow. I would have been sitting on the floor of the living room with my brothers. Dad would have been in his chair, and Mom probably sitting on the couch. We used to watch TV and movies together that way. Now, the first time we watched this movie, it came to a scene where the animosity between Mad Mardigan and Sorsha really comes to a head. They exchange some very hostile words with each other, and then she actually kicks him in the face. And a bit later on, Mad Mardigan declares how much he hates Sorsha. And then, behind me, I hear my dad say something like, "Not for long." So, my dad could already see coming something which was going to take me by surprise in the movie. As the story plays out, Mad Mardigan and Sorsha, who hate each other so much, are going to end up falling in love. To me, that was an unexpected plot twist. But to Dad, it came as no surprise. And now, as a dad myself, I've once or twice done the same kind of thing with my kids. When I've been watching a movie with them, I might predict something. It might be very early in the movie, and I'll say something like, you know, the monster's going to get that guy in the end. Or maybe I'll say, that woman there, she's not actually a good guy. She's a bad guy pretending to be good. Now, I can't remember what movie it was, but once I made one of those predictions, and Ben looked at me surprised and said, "Have you seen this before?" No, I hadn't seen it before. How did I know what was coming? How did my dad know what was coming in Willow? Well, we've seen enough movies, we've read these kinds of stories, and we've seen these films. We've seen enough of them to recognize how certain plots play out. This morning, as I said before, we're bringing to a conclusion our series on the Book of Chronicles. And the idea is to draw those main themes of Chronicles that we've looked at and see how they point to Jesus. And some of you have heard enough of me talking before to have an idea how this is going to play out before I even get started. A little bit like Dad could see something coming in Willow. A major focus of my teaching ministry has always been to show Jesus in all the scriptures. Old Testament, New Testament, Genesis to Revelation, including, of course, the Book of Chronicles. Jesus in all the scriptures. So our series on Chronicles has emphasized a couple of major themes. First, you've got King David and his descendants on the throne. And of course, the promise of a coming king, the Messiah. And then you've got the theme of the temple, which is the place of God's presence among his people, and also the place where sacrifices for the sins of God's people were made. Finally, there's this theme of how God's people respond to God's promises, whether they respond in faithfulness or in unfaithfulness. So some of you now might be a bit like my dad watching Willow. You know where this is going. The fact that Jesus is at the end of these plot lines will not be a plot twist for you. And that's fine. That's fine if it doesn't take you by surprise and you know where this is going. In fact, not only is it fine, it's actually great. So, my dad did not stop watching Willow just because he could see some of what was coming. And I don't stop watching movies with my kids just because I can guess at some of the plot twists. The fact that I know how movies and stories often play out doesn't mean that I can't enjoy them. But much, much more importantly, a movie is meant for entertainment. And we're not here today doing this now for entertainment. I'm not here to entertain anybody. I'm here because it is vitally important in the life of the church and in each of our lives. It's vitally important for us to be full of the knowledge of God as he has revealed himself in Scripture. The more we can see how all of Scripture points to Jesus and how Chronicles points to Jesus, the more I can say we've got a healthy church. And that's why it's a good thing if some of you know where this is going. It means that our teaching in the church is working, and I couldn't be more grateful to God for that. For others, well, maybe it seems like we spend too much time in the Old Testament in our church. Who needs Chronicles? Who needs Malachi or Exodus? We need Jesus. But I've said this before, and I will say it again. When the New Testament wants to tell you who Jesus is, it uses the Old Testament to tell you who Jesus is. If we can't see the importance and the relevance of the Old Testament, well, that tells me two things. It tells me that we don't understand the Old Testament, and worse, we don't understand Jesus. If the New Testament uses the Old Testament to tell you who Jesus is, and we don't see the importance of the Old Testament, then we don't understand Jesus. And that's a problem because Christianity is all about knowing Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So let's let God in his word tell us who his Son is, including his word in Chronicles. So these major themes in Chronicles have been the throne of David and the temple. So let's unpack that a little bit more. The throne of David is how God rules over his people, Israel. Chronicles focuses on the tribe of Judah, from whom David came. It focuses on David himself and on the promise God made to David in 1 Chronicles 17. And that was the promise of a son who would one day sit on David's throne forever. And then Chronicles focuses on David's descendants on his throne. Could this be the promised one? Well, no, as it turns out. Maybe this one's the promised one. No, not him either. Chronicles is telling us about the kingdom of God, God's rule over his people. And it's telling us that there is still a coming son of David, the Messiah, the fulfillment of God's kingdom. But here's an important question. How can a good and holy God rule a sinful people? How can a holy God have for his people and unholy people? And that question is kind of at the heart of the whole Bible. It's at the heart of the whole gospel. You know, in the movies, you've got good guys and bad guys. The movies are always about good guys and bad guys. Sometimes, though, in the movies, sometimes a bad guy like Sorsha, for example, in the movie Willow, sometimes a bad guy becomes a good guy. Outside the movies, here in reality, it's not good guys and bad guys. In reality, it's bad guys, just bad guys, all of us. All have sinned, the Bible says, And we all know that in our hearts as well. So if I look at me, here's one thing I know. If I look at me, I cannot be God's. I cannot be His. He is holy, and I am not. How can a good and holy God have a sinful people? Well, the answer is that He can't. He must make them holy. And so the temple is very important, and it's a big theme in the book of Chronicles. The temple is where the priests made sacrifices for the sins of the people, for their own sins and for the rest. Now, if the people looked at themselves, they knew they could not be God's. They could not be His people. If they looked at themselves, they knew that because they were rebellious and sinful. And even the most faithful of them were still sinners. So how can Israel be God's people? He is holy and they are not. If they look to themselves, they know they can't be God's people. So instead, they look to the temple. They look to the sacrifices. They look to God to make them holy. And their sin is so serious that only blood, only death can remove their guilt. I've asked this question before. Do we take our own sin that seriously? When David came face to face with his own sin, he knew that death was on the line and that only God could save him. Now, the book of Chronicles doesn't itself tell us about David's big sins. But remember that Chronicles is not trying to hide that. The author knows that you can read all about it in Kings. So think about where David went with the reality of his own sin. For example, in Psalm 51, he says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me." You see here, when David looks at me, he sees sin. When he looks at God, he sees mercy and compassion and forgiveness. A few verses later, David continues, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." Do not cast me from your presence, says David the sinner. And that brings us to another reason why the temple is so significant. The first point about the temple was that it's where God made his people right with him. He made an unholy people holy by sacrifice so they could be his. And being his, being made holy, they could enjoy his holy presence among them. The presence of God is another significant aspect of the temple. For the unholy to come in contact with the holy is the most dangerous thing in the world. For us sinners to come into the presence of the true and living God is terrifying unless God makes us holy so we can be His. And so the people of Israel or of Judah, they could enjoy the presence of God among them in the temple only because in that same temple, God made a way for them to be his people. So in Chronicles here, we've got the theme of the throne of David and we've got the theme of the temple. But finally, there's this recurring theme of how God's people respond to God's grace and his promises. king after king from David's line. A few were very faithful, but most are pretty rotten. And lots of them actually have very complicated stories, full of ups and downs, just like your story and just like mine. Chronicles sometimes simplifies these stories, like when it leaves out David's sins or when it passes over Solomon's collapse into idolatry. But other times, Chronicles shows us the complexity of stories which were presented much more simply in the earlier book of Kings. For example, Manasseh is remembered as a cruel and evil king, and that is all that we hear about him in the book of Kings. But here in Chronicles, in 2 Chronicles 33, we're told about Manasseh's remarkable repentance. When Chronicles simplifies someone's story, the author knows that you already know the story was more complicated. David and Solomon were not always as faithful as Chronicles pictures them, but the author knows that you know that. On the other hand, the author sometimes shows ups and downs which the book of Kings did not, as in the case of Manasseh's repentance. Manasseh's repentance shows us something of what it means to be the people of God. It means acknowledging the true seriousness of your sin and your guilt. And it means turning away from sin like Manasseh did and dedicating yourself to obey God instead. And Manasseh also prayed to God, it tells us, just as we must do, to call on him to save us, since only he can. But the very important reality is that these kings, they are not about us. David is not me or you. David, Solomon, Manasseh, the rest of them, they're not about us. They're about the king. They're pointing to Jesus. Who are we? Well, we're like the people of Judah in Chronicles. They follow their king. When it's a good king, they worship and serve the Lord. And when it's a bad king, they follow that king into idolatry and sin. So what is Chronicles telling us? It's telling us that God's people need a king who has no ups and downs. We need a king who is always faithful to God, all the time, and leads us that way. Chronicles tells the same story as the rest of the Bible. The better we get to know these stories, the better we might be able to see what's coming. Like my dad could see that Mad Mardigan and Sorsha's hatred for each other was never going to last. The better we know the scriptures, the better we understand that our sin won't last forever because of Jesus. Jesus fulfills both the throne and the temple. In Jesus, we have a perfect king of God's kingdom to rule over God's people forever. He is the king who will always lead us, his people, to God and never away from God. In Jesus, we have a perfect sacrifice to make the ungodly godly, to make the unholy holy, and to make the sinner right with God once and for all and forever. In Jesus, we enjoy the presence of our God forever. As God became one of us in Christ, and he is now present with us by his Spirit, and in the fullness of time, Jesus will return and make all things new. And then we can join him and his Father and be in their presence in the new heavens and the new earth. For now, in Jesus, before that great time comes, for now, we've got the same two choices that the people of God had in Chronicles. Either continue in rebellion against God and suffer his judgment, or turn yourselves back to God trust him for salvation, and submit to his rightful rule. Either choice we make, Chronicles confronts us with the reality and the seriousness of our sin and our guilt. If we are on the wrong side of Jesus when he returns, we already know why. And if we're on the right side of Jesus when he returns, well, we also know why, don't we? It's only because of him, his sacrifice, his death on the cross on our behalf. And it's because of him and his resurrection that he lives forever to save us and protect us and rule over us, the King of God's kingdom. And as I said before, it's the story of the whole Bible. It's the story of Adam and Eve in the garden, with the choice to trust and obey God or to rebel. It's the story of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's the story of Joseph and the story of Israel in Egypt. It's Israel's story under the leadership of the judges and under the leadership of the kings. And it's the story the prophets told when they said that a Messiah was coming. It's the story of Revelation, from Genesis to Revelation. It's the same story. In Revelation, you have this new heavens and this new earth, and God's people in Christ will enjoy his rule and his presence forever, while those who persist in rebellion against Christ will have no place in the new Jerusalem. They'll be destroyed. Speaking of Revelation, most of Revelation, it shows this view of the world in which we now live. It shows this world in which we now live, with God's enemies waging war against his kingdom and his people. That's us. The message of Revelation is that here and now, God loves us, and he's in control. Now, isn't that a blessed assurance for us in all times, but especially now? God loves us, and he's in control. Now, we have this pandemic, which the Bible might call a plague or a pestilence, depending on your translation. People are dying, and more people are going to die. We're isolated now. We're missing each other. Times are hard now, and they're going to get harder. I don't know the future. I don't know how hard things are going to get, but they are going to get harder. Any and all of us might end up with lots of grieving to do before this is all over. And who knows what the effects on our economy and our society might be for years to come. It might bring misery for a long time. I don't know what's going to happen. But isn't that uncertainty itself a bad thing to be going through here in this world? But what I do know is that God loves us and he's in control. He's proven that in Christ, who died for us and rose to life again. In any times, it's important, but especially at a time like this, how vital it is to know that God loves us and he's in control. And that's the message of Revelation. And I hope that now you can all see how important and vital and relevant that message is. But why am I talking about Revelation instead of Chronicles? Because it's the same story. From Genesis through Chronicles through Revelation, it's the same story. Dad knew something of how the movie Willow was going to play out, even though he had never seen it before. The better we know the whole Bible, the better we'll see Jesus in every page and know how these stories play out. And the better we will see him loving us and in control here and now, no matter how hard times get. That's because our story of our lives now is also the same story that Revelation tells and Chronicles tells and Genesis tells. The better we know those stories and where they're going, the better we grasp our story and where it's going. The better we know God and His Son from His Word, the better we'll understand our lives in light of who Jesus is and what He has done. It is the Bible which will make us not only say Jesus is Lord and Savior, but know it and live it too. And that'll mean trusting only in Jesus to make us right with God, and trusting Him enough to serve and obey Him. And when we fail, when we sin, we get back up and we serve Him and we obey Him again. Chronicles emphasizes the promise of a king from David's line. It emphasizes the temple where God was present with His people, because He had provided the means to make them right with Him. And Chronicles challenges us to trust in God's promises and to stay faithful to Him no matter how hard times get, no matter what the world throws at us. When I did the first message in this series, I asked some questions at the end. And that was before any of this pandemic business was really happening to us. Well, now I want to ask the same questions again, and I wonder whether your answers have changed or not. Ask yourself this: is my trust in God perfect and complete already? Or does Chronicles have something to teach me? I think most of us have some doubts and fears now and then. I know that I do. And ask yourself this: am I perfectly faithful to God already? Or could my faith maybe be strengthened by God's word in Chronicles? What do you think?